O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, June 29th, 2015. I have a pretty involved and insightful reading to share with you. It'll take the entirety of the program. But let me first alert our prayer warriors. Please be lifting up my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, as he'll again have some kidney stone surgery at some point today, and we hope that'll resolve some of the issues he's had. To prepare us for this writing by Dennis Rainey that I received a couple days ago, note my heart and intent is to extend Christ's love, yet never minimizing the importance of following the Scriptures, living obediently, and placing our lives in His hands under His rules. Let me share a portion of a song that'll set the stage, Teaching the Truth in Love by a cappella, and then I'll begin my reading.
Are we teaching the truth in love? Telling it like it is, while holding pure motives and showing that we care. Are we teaching the truth in love? Oh, a man came to my Jesus, telling all that he had done. Commandments, he knew every single one. But Jesus said there's something that indeed he did lack. Yes, the Savior told the truth, he didn't hold the message back, 'cause he was teaching the truth in love.
Three issues that grieve me more than the Supreme Court ruling Redefining Marriage by Dennis Rainey. I was sitting in my office one afternoon a couple of weeks ago when I received one of those blessings of being a grandparent. A text message from my 10-year-old granddaughter, Gabby. Quote, "I love you," she wrote. "What are you doing today, Papa?" End of quote. I pushed back my desk and thought about her question. What in the world am I doing today? As I pondered, a wave of emotion washed over me, and I thought about the weight of what God has given me to do with family life. I decided to answer her question as simply and as honestly as I could. I pecked out my response and hit the send button, quote, "working hard to help marriages and families do it God's way," end of quote. Her reply? Quote, "that is awesome," end of quote. Gabby doesn't understand it yet, but Barbara and I have given nearly four decades of our adult lives to building godly marriages and families, both for this generation and the next. Though we expected the June 26th decision on same-sex marriage by the U.S. Supreme Court, we are nonetheless grieved that the court has ruled that, in our nation, we must uncouple the definition of marriage from its historic and biblical moorings. Let me say this at the outset. I am also saddened that we in the Christian community haven't done a better job of graciously standing for the truth and loving those who disagree with us about the definition of marriage. Our collective fear of offending has taken away our ability to love boldly. My personal ambition is to attempt to love all people as Christ loves all, including those who differ with me. That is why we have always welcomed anyone to attend our Weekend to Remember marriage getaways or listen to our radio broadcast, Family Life Today. When Family Life is asked if gay couples can attend a Weekend to Remember, we respond with a hearty invitation. We let them know that our understanding of marriage is rooted in Scripture, but we make it clear that they are absolutely welcome. Nonetheless, I grieve today. ... over the Supreme Court ruling. God created marriage, not man. Marriage is a mysterious reflection of the Trinity. Attempting to change the divine artists, capital A, will bring multiplied unforeseen consequences. ... For the losses this generation and the succeeding ones will face, tampering with the DNA of marriage, the most basic unit of society, will result in 100 lesser evils everywhere among us. That a majority of the Supreme Court justices, by their approval of same-sex marriage, have also placed their stamp of approval on homosexuality, which the Bible clearly defines as sin. Celebrating a behavior and a lifestyle that is unhealthy for individuals and society is no different than celebrating other behaviors the Bible calls sin, such as theft or murder or adultery, which our nation continues to discourage with laws and consequences. This is no small matter that our justices have determined for our nation. Definitions matter because the truth matters. But you may be surprised to learn that there are three other issues that concern me just as much as the same-sex marriage, and perhaps more. We live in a culture that is steadily moving away from God's truth. I'm reminded of the days described in the Old Testament when, quote, everyone did what was right in his own eyes, Judges 21:25. We build our homes upon the shifting sands of personal freedom and autonomy rather than the timeless principles of God's Word. As a result, our families are in serious trouble and need help now. Here are three toxic crises which have concerned me for years as I've watched the increasing corrosion of families in our nation and around the world. Crisis number one, a generation that has lost hope in marriage. 2 weeks ago, Barbara and I had dinner with two couples who teach in one of the largest high schools in our state. When I asked what they are seeing in today's teens, they unanimously agreed that their students are so wounded by their parents' mediocre marriages, by the lack of healthy role models, and by the growing vacuum of strong, stable families that they have no concept of what a healthy marriage and family look like. Add to that a media-driven culture saturated with distorted, confusing messages about marriage, gender, and sexuality. Is it any wonder that our nation's young adults are bewildered and hopeless? They are avoiding marriages, postponing it, and even giving up on it. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 65% of Americans between 18 and 32 were married in 1960. Today, only 26% in that age range are married. Living together is the accepted means of determining compatibility for marriage for this generation. And if they do marry, they are tying the knot at the oldest age in the nation's history, an average of over 29 for men and 27.5 for women. It's a hookup generation, sex with no relationships and certainly no commitment. The teachers told us that young men in their classes don't know how to relate to the opposite sex. They are increasingly passive and are clueless about how to initiate a conversation, let alone a date. On top of that, our culture encourages young people to experiment with a multi-choice menu of sexual identities. Facebook now offers nearly 60 different sexual identities to choose from. How can young people think about marriage if they are uncertain about their gender? It all adds up to a generation that looks at marriage very differently than their parents. If marriage is the headwaters of a family, and it is, and if family is the supreme conductor of morality, character, life skills, and faith, and it is, then stop and consider, what kind of world will this generation of young adults leave to its children one day? Dietrich Bonhoeffer warns us, quote, the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world it leaves to its children, end of quote. The bottom line is that the Christian community has been far too passive, far too complicit, and far too silent for the past four decades as the foundation of the family has crumbled. And we are seeing the impact of our passivity in today's generation of young people. It's up to us to create a climate of covenant-keeping love in marriage and offer biblical help and hope to a generation that does not know how to do marriage. If those who follow Jesus Christ don't protect and champion marriage as God designed it, then who will? We must determine to take care of our own homes in the faith community and recapture the high ground of marriage as God designed it. Churches must become the marriage and family equipping centers in our communities and world. This cannot happen without redeemed men and women passionately devoted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Crisis number two, fatherless America. Destroy a culture of marriage, and what do you get? Men who are not civilized by the love of a woman. Dr. George Gilder, a Harvard sociologist, calls these men, quote, barbarians, end of quote. Having no marriage and no place to invest their masculine sexual energy, they roam, they sow seeds, and they refuse to assume the noble calling of being a responsible man, husband, and father. No nation will outlive the death of real men. Brad Wilcox, director of the National Marriage Project and a professor at the University of Virginia, once told me that in 1960, a little over 5% of all births in America were to unwed mothers. The nuclear family, even in its dysfunction, was solid. Fathers didn't do it perfectly, but they were having children with their wives, and they were there. Today, 43% of births are to unwed mothers. Yes, there are dads who stick around and cohabit or even marry, but the majority of these children born to single women are raised in homes without a father. This is a huge problem for America and its homes. Children growing up without a father face a higher risk for sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, increased suicide, drug and alcohol abuse, homelessness, placement in the foster care system, incarceration, and poverty. Contrast that dark picture with the Brookings Institute discovery. If four historically proven lifestyle choices are present, families and children have a 90% probability of avoiding long-term poverty. These four factors are a high school diploma, a job, marriage, children. In other words, the timeless model of progress into responsible adulthood, education, employment, marriage, and children, is the most reliable path to a healthy, productive life. Therefore, if we do not train men in their responsibilities and show them how to be men, if the rate of births to unwed mothers continue to climb, what does this mean for America? The majority of men in America will grow up without any model of what it means to be a man. There will be an even greater acceleration of women and children being abused. We will not be able to build prisons fast enough. Government will, in effect, have to become daddy. And the church will be overwhelmed with the needs of a generation that has endured unspeakable ills. All this leads me to the third and most important issue that troubles me more than the recent Supreme Court ruling. Crisis number three, trans-spiritual Christians. Transgenderism has become the latest hot issue for the media to champion. According to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, GLAAD, transgender is a term used to describe people whose gender identity differs from the sex the doctor marked on their birth certificate. Just as we are witnessing a gender identity and sexual orientation revolution, there's also a revolution in spiritual identity and orientation among people of faith, resulting in what I call trans-spiritual Christians. Trans-spiritual Christians are those whose spiritual identity or faith expression doesn't match the person God created them to be. They don't understand their identity as a child of God and as an ambassador of the King. As a result, far too many believers today are confused about who they are, what they believe, and why they are here. They've lost their grip on biblical truth. How a Christian thinks about the Bible, and therefore about himself, determines his identity, beliefs, and his expression or behavior. Therefore, instead of being an ambassador in a foreign land and setting their minds on things above, Colossians 3:2, many have sunk roots deep into the values of the world, taking up residence here and applied for earthly citizenship. When confronted with issues that demand a sturdy faith based upon biblical beliefs and convictions, many Christians switch identities and blend in like a chameleon. Instead of embracing their spiritual calling to resemble Jesus Christ, too many become trans-spiritual and mimic the thinking of others. When Jesus came, it was said of him, "And we beheld his glory full of grace and truth." John 1:14. Jesus was both kind and right, fully aligned with the Father. He arrived on mission and died on mission to redeem us and give us a new citizenship. The Apostle Paul makes our identity and mission clear. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. But instead of being ambassadors on a mission, Christians forget to whom we belong and whom we represent, and we allow our emotions to guide us rather than the truth of Scripture. Instead of struggling with the assignment of speaking the truth in love, we take the easy road of just love. Instead of courageously sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and speaking to the needs of other people's broken souls, the need for the love and forgiveness of God, trans-spiritual Christians tell people what they want to hear and tolerate any lifestyle choice as simply a personal preference. This is not the model Jesus left us. I am most troubled by this identity confusion because of the urgent spiritual need of our nation. We don't need convictionless Christians who profess their faith in Jesus, but live no differently than those who do not know him. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Hi, this is Mark Burns, General Manager of Great News Radio. And on Saturday, I received this email from Dennis Rainey with Family Life and was very blessed how he put his thoughts together, so I thought I'd share them with you. The title of this writing is Three Issues That Grieve Me More Than the Supreme Court Ruling Redefining Marriage, and this is by Dennis Rainey. And so if you missed the beginning of this reading, this program is archived at greatnewsradio.org. And also you can call the station and Karen can forward this piece to you in an email or copy it and send it off to you. But it's also posted at the Family Life website, familylife.org, familylife.org. But I'll continue the reading. There's a couple more pages. And this is where Dennis kind of transitions his thoughts into how family life can help build families and marriages God's way. And I feel this is very appropriate, fundamental, and true for this radio ministry, as we want to proclaim God's word clearly, effectively, in its entirety, with love, but never holding back the truth, and desiring the redemptive message and power of God's love to trump disobedience, poor choices we make, or when we follow our fallen nature. There's always redemption in God, and there's wholeness and fullness and the eternal reward that awaits us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So this piece goes on, helping people build marriages and families God's way. The moral climate is eroding, but family life is standing firm. We are about to enter our 40th year of providing practical and biblical help for marriages and families, helping millions of couples do it God's way. It's clear that people today need help and hope for their families more than ever. I believe God has strategically raised up this ministry to be the light on the hill, to give men and women help and hope in troubled times, to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what you can count on from Family Life and its outreach in the years ahead. And as I mentioned, I'm jumping in here again. I think these parallel very well with Great News Radio's goals to educate, edify, and evangelize all who tune in and attend our radio events. Here's what you can count on from Family Life and its outreach in the years ahead. 1. We will continue to stand unapologetically for the truth of Scripture and teach the biblical blueprints for marriage and family, regardless of the cost. 2. Even though we are imperfect, broken people, we will do our best with the strength that God supplies to speak the truth in love. We are going to do our best to be winsome and compassionate to all. 3. We will seize the opportunity to proclaim the need for forgiveness for all people. Jesus Christ is the sinless Savior who died on a cross to forgive the sins of all who turn to Him in repentance and faith. This is the redemption message that the whole world needs to hear. 4. We will pray and take advantage of this opportunity to use every Family Life Today radio broadcast, every Weekend to Remember, thousands of video events, and our growing digital outreach to find, equip, and unleash a movement of tens of thousands of men and women like you who will act as ambassadors for Christ in a lost and hurting world. Today I'm reminded of Matthew 9:35-38, which tells us, "And Jesus went throughout the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" That was Matthew 9:35-38. The harvest is as plentiful today as it was when Jesus spoke those words. People are still harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. They need the help and hope that can only come from Jesus Christ. Now is the time to become a laborer in this harvest, to reach out to those near you and give them help and hope. Will you join us as we help others build their marriages and families God's way? Well, that concludes a writing by Dennis Rainey with Family Life titled "Three Issues That Grieve Me More Than the Supreme Court Ruling Redefining Marriage." I thought so much of what he shared and had to say parallels nicely with this radio ministry. As we desire to proclaim the good news message of Jesus, that message of hope and love, yet never watering down or minimizing God's calling on those who follow Jesus to live a holy life set apart in obedience, holding to the commandments and the tenets of Scripture. Now, we can't do it on our own, but thank you, God, He's offered the Holy Spirit to walk beside us, to guide us, to lead us, to enlighten our minds and hearts, to help us be strong when tempted, and to bring conviction when we fail, so we're drawn again into the Father's welcoming arms and that redemptive plan to sanctify us while we're here on earth. Now, I know a lot was covered with all that reading, and maybe it stirred something in your heart. You have some questions about the Christian faith or how to even process what was just said and shared. There are some great folks that would love to talk with you about having a relationship with God or what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can call them at 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Also, if you want us to forward you this message by Dennis Rainey with Family Life, just email the station, staff@greatnewsradio.org. That's staff@greatnewsradio.org. Or give us a call, 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Came to my Jesus, telling all that he had done to fulfill the good commandments. He knew every single one. But Jesus said there's something that indeed he did lack. Yes, the Savior told the truth. He didn't hold the message back, 'cause he was teaching the truth in love.